think it's crucially important that we have a more expansive understanding of what observations can be in order to support that dream of equity and inclusion. I wanted to start off by talking a lot about some of the constraints about how we think about observations in traditional MVC settings. For many people I know, especially people from non-dominant communities, there are problems with this definition of an observation because it doesn't include some important elements. I want to talk a bit about the concept of the video camera, what the video camera can see and hear. One of the challenges with this framing of observations is that it continues to put forth this notion that there's such a thing as an objective observation, that there's kind of this reality that's out there, that's external, and if we only look at it, we get it. And that's actually different, and it doesn't even match the reality of what happens with video cameras. Video cameras often have some sort of filter. Sometimes the filter is acknowledged because I might say I want to capture only the blue light, and I put a blue light filter on. Even though the video camera is recording, what's being recorded with the video camera with a blue light filter will look very different than what's recorded with the video camera without that filter. Video cameras also differ in terms of the quality of the lens. And really importantly, they differ in terms of where they're looking at. Video cameras in any space have to be pointed and aimed at something. And once they're pointed and aimed at that thing, it's recorded. If we take what the video camera is seeing and hearing as the only definition of an observation, it doesn't acknowledge that there might be a whole lot going on in the space that's incredibly different than what that video camera is seeing and recording. What often happens is, just like with the video camera, whoever is pointing that camera, that person is a person who gets to define where we should put our attention and what counts as an observation. So if I have a certain social location, a certain perspective, and what's really important to me is noticing when people are, for instance, taking turns raising their hands. If I'm in a group, that's the only thing that I'm going to notice. Did you raise your hand? Did you take a turn? If what I don't notice is every time people raise their hand, men are called on and women are not called on, I might get incredibly frustrated when a woman speaks out of turn and say, what I'm observing is we all agreed to take turns raising our hands and you didn't follow this rule. My lens isn't pointed at who gets called on when we raise our hands, and I don't include it as part of the valid observation that we're talking about. So acknowledging that our observations are really constrained by our focus, where we're putting our attention, and by the filters that we're bringing once we point our attention in some place is really important. So there's another piece that I want to bring to our understanding of observations that is even more mind-blowing to me in some ways. And right now, we've been talking about one kind of observations, which are external observations, things that are outside of ourselves. And that's where NBC has traditionally accepted as valid for an observation, something that's happening outside of ourselves that our senses are taking in. Even when I add this concept of the filter and where we're focusing, that still fits a lot of the traditional formulation of what an observation is. But I'd actually like to add that just as important to the purpose of an observation is our internal observations. In order to talk about this, I want to point out what the point of an observation is. We often say that the whole reason that we want to put so much focus on being clear about our observations is because it helps us to understand why certain feelings and needs are stimulated. The observations are the stimulus for our feelings and needs. And if I don't understand the full observation, I don't fully actually understand what my feelings and needs might be. So for instance, I'm going to start out by talking about an incident that happened to me in grad school. In grad school, I was taking an exam. I took two exams, and I ended up scoring about a little bit above the class average for these exams. Okay, so this is part of that external observations. Took an exam, I got the two tests back. My score was a bit above the class average. I can make that much more specific, but we'll go for the a bit above. The professor called me in because he wanted to let me know that I was in danger of failing the class because I wasn't performing well. So that right there would be the NBC external observation, right? If I left it just there, what would you say my feelings and needs are? What feelings and needs were stimulated in me just with that external observation? And I invite you to just type into the chat some of the feelings and needs that you think I might have had. Okay, so disheartened, frustration and fear and confusion, shocked, concerned. Yeah. And so some of my needs are to be seen, need to be seen for who I am, integrity, understanding. Absolutely. Thank y'all. So we can really connect to some of what would be coming up for me if this were the only part of the observation that I look at. What also happened to me, which I consider part of our observation, what I consider part of our internal observation, was elements of my history got stimulated. So, as a Black woman immigrant from the United States, I've had the experience several times when I was told, you're not smart enough to take this class, or you're not going to do well, just take this easier class, or people would question why I was in the school for the gifted. So when I heard this from the professor, part of what came up for me, the thoughts that I had, which became part of my internal observation, was, wow, I really aren't good enough. There's something wrong with me. I don't belong here. I'm an imposter. I really should not be in this program. These were thoughts that I had. And when these thoughts came up, they also stimulated feelings and needs. So what feelings and needs would I have if those were the internal observations that I connected with? Right, so shame. What else might have come up for me? Concern and discouragement, despair, need to be heard, resignation, yeah, and worry. Some actions I might take would be withdrawing. Yeah, and what needs might I have in that moment? Is these feelings, depression, fear, as these feelings are coming up, what needs might I have? Yeah, belonging, acceptance, oh, self-care, and support and encouragement. Yeah, kind of connecting with my own understanding of my intelligence. So you guys are getting it, right? So we're taking this external stimulus that happened, and in order to fully understand the feelings and needs that I'm experiencing, you would have to understand, first, this level of my internal observation. When this thing happened, these thoughts came up. That's part of my internal observation. There's a third layer of observation that I want to add. The third layer of observations that we really don't talk about is the systemic level, our understanding and awareness of systemic issues. So in exactly the same situation, another thought that came up for me was connected to my awareness of some of the statistics about what it means to be a Black woman in an advanced education program. An example of the statistics that I could connect with were, in the United States, only 34% of applicants to graduate programs, to medical programs, are African American. And, you know, this assumes that these applicants are great, well qualified, but only 34% of them are African American. And if we assume that about the same numbers get in that apply, another statistic is that only 6% of them graduate. So even though we have something in the 30s applying and getting in, only 6% graduate. If they got in, we're going to assume that they're about as smart and capable as the white students who've gotten in, but there's this huge disparity in who's actually able to graduate. So when I think about that, in the context of the professor telling me, even though my grades are the same or a little bit better than the rest of the class, that I'm in danger of failing, what are my feelings and needs? Yeah, so anger, confusion, despair, equity, support, accountability, inclusion, yeah, clarity. So thank you guys. You guys are getting it, right? I'm hoping that this example illustrates how only paying attention to the external observation is not enough for us to understand and fully understand what the feelings and needs are. That it's really important to include the internal observations as part of what we look at. Now, if I'm naming a systemic issue, I'm naming something, you know, this is a thought that I had in observing this thought. This is something that I might have awareness of that someone else might not have the same shared awareness or even agree is happening. The whole point of observations, observing my thoughts, observing what's coming up inside of me, is not so much that we're going to have shared reality about what's going on. It's that I get insight into what my feelings and needs are. I get insight into what's stimulating this experience of needs that are being met or unmet. And often when we put the emphasis on finding shared reality, what we eventually end up doing is discounting or minimizing the experiences and the reasons for the feelings of needs of people who are not part of the dominant culture. we're saying that unless you can align with what the rest of the world, what the rest of us are experiencing, we're not going to value it. And so this is why this understanding of observations being both external and internal, and that the internal can include both our individual experiences, but also our awareness of systemic issues, is crucially important for me if we want to make NBC truly inclusive and welcoming of different experiences.